February 20, 2023. It's What for Pedro Show.
Thank you.
Pedro Show. Happy Monday. Start off the show with Miles Davis with John Coltrane doing Fran Dance, putting a little right foot out. And then Derek Higgins with James Ballerin doing I Didn't Hear It on the Radio. And because of those software engineers in Estonia with their Skype invention, I got Derek Higgins. Welcome aboard, Derek.
Hey, thank you, Mike, so much for having me on the show. I'm honored.
Absolute. And we got to give credit to our connect, Brian Day.
Absolutely. Great guy. Thanks, Brian.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting that you play Miles and John Coltrane. They've both been to my house when I was a kid.
Whoa.
Yeah, yeah. Both my parents were musicians, and my dad is originally from Chicago.
Okay, okay. And, so when they were on tour, they'd come by?
Yes, yes. And actually, Johnny Griffin, you know who Johnny Griffin
yeah,
is?
Yeah, of course.
Well, he grew up like a brother to my dad. And so Johnny would just come to Omaha to visit us. So he insisted we call him Uncle Johnny. And whoa. So we would get visits like that as well.
Okay, okay. And how old were you?
I was like, when I met John Coltrane, I was like 6 or 7. So it was like, it's an interesting story if I can just tell it right quick.
Yeah, please.
Because both my parents are musicians, you know, I've been in love with music my entire life, but they would have a lot of people come through, jam sessions, etc. But I remember this man in particular. I was just a kid, but there was something about his presence and the way my dad acted around him while he was at the house. He came for dinner, of all things, you know.
Yeah.
But the way that I remember that it was him is because I kept getting his name wrong. Mr. Coltrane, Mr. Coltrane. And I forget if it was my dad or my older sister who said, no, Derek, it's like the rail yard, like a coal train. That's Mr. Coltrane.
Okay. So you lost the R.
Yeah, I was just a kid.
yeah, but still, pretty bitching. Did he rap with you? Did you get to talk?
Yes, I did. I actually sat on his lap and went to a record store with him and my dad. Back in the day, they used to, you know, make singles from the jazz albums.
Right.
And I went along with my dad and John to a local record store with my dad to buy John's latest single on Prestige.
Okay. His first label.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I'm just on the eighth book now, the one by Ben Ratliff. Eighth biography on John Coltrane in the last year and a half. I've really been going to town and learning about him. So I'm wondering about somebody who had actual personal experience. That's righteous. Truly, truly.
You bet.
Let's go back. What's your earliest music? That's an early musical memory, of course. But do you even have earlier ones?
I do, Mike. And I love the format of your show. I want to tell you, I've listened to a few of the shows. And I actually remember this as well as my parents telling me. But they would remark to their friends that when I was still just a toddler in the crib, that when they would play either Chuck Berry or the Everly Brothers, I would go nuts and rock. Whoa. But the thing is, I remember getting off on Chuck Berry's School Days and Little Richard as maybe as young as 4 years old. Just that music just excited me. Those are my early memories.
Whoa. And since your parents were both musicians, there was instruments in the pad?
Oh, man, yeah.
Where did you first jump on?
My very first instrument was trumpet, actually.
Okay.
Which was my dad's first instrument, but he became well known for playing tenor sax. But I tried trumpet first, couldn't get it. Then we tried flute. That was even worse. So I moved to sax. And then by the time
you don't know unless you try it, right?
Go ahead. What's that?
You don't know unless you try it.
That's right. That's right. So I ended up on French horn by sixth grade, and that was my school instrument.
Before wow, I picked up heard guitar. Those were rough because a little mouthpiece.
Exactly, and yet somehow I took to it.
You know the bass man who also did French horn?
Huh.
John Entwistle, The Who. In fact, he has
a
French horn solo on Pictures of Lily.
That's right. You're
which
right.
I got
and,
the music for.
I remember seeing pictures of him playing the damn thing, yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Hey, Mike, did you ever meet him? Did you ever meet John Entwistle?
No, I wish I would have, but I got to see him play solo, so I was kind of close. Not at a club, not arena rock, and man, those fingers. Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. And he was so loud, you know, half the stage was his amps. And but the way he would use pick, fingers, slapping, all in the same tune.
Yeah, amazing.
Yeah, it was all vocabulary to him. Really, what was the first record you bought with your own money, Derek?
That's a good one. I had to think about this. I cannot remember the title, but I remember that there was a five and dime store downtown, and I maybe was, again, maybe six or seven, and it was the first time I remember having any money at all, and I was able to buy a record for 10 cents, and so I bought a single by Bobby Rydell, but it wasn't a hit.
Wow. Okay.
That's the very first record I ever bought.
Well, why do you think you did? Why did you pick that one in particular?
Well, it was the label Cameo. You remember the label Cameo Records?
Sure. I remember the band too later.
Hey, I actually worked the stage for Cameo one show, but it was
good,
the label
good punk
Cameo.
Band. Okay, I remember.
D.D. Sharp had a big hit on it, so I thought, well, it's probably going to be good. And I knew I knew who Bobby Rydell was, but it wasn't a hit. So, you know, but I bought it, and that was my first single.
Okay. What about the first gig you saw?
Now, that's interesting because, as I said, as a kid, I was witness to a lot of jam sessions in the house. So the first show I went to was at a teen fun fair that my dad took me and my brothers and sisters to, and it was – Nebraska band, the Smoke Ring, and then the Sir Douglas Quintet with Doug Somm.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, okay. Mendocino later on.
Yeah, that was it. That was it.
That was during that period. Okay. Okay, and then you were telling me at school, you weren't in the choir, but you probably were in the marching band with that French horn.
I was, but I was also in the choir in church.
Oh, okay, yeah, of course. A lot of rock and roll singers came out of the church.
Yeah, yeah.
And soul singers and stuff.
It's just part of the deal.
Yeah, I think because you're allowed to get emotional, you know, why not?
Mm-hmm. Well, my grandpa was the minister of the church. You know, everybody thought I was going to be a preacher too. So
both of John Coltrane's grandfathers were Methodist preachers.
Yes, yes. That spirituality is in the music.
It's, yeah.
You know, it is.
Absolute. Absolute.
You know about it, Michael. I feel it. I feel it coming from you. There's a spiritual connection for you, isn't there?
Absolute. Absolute. Absolute.
Yes.
Lifeline. I mean, it's how I know I'm awake. I'm alive. It's, there's a spirit.
That's right.
Big spirit. So,
right.
You know the thing? I'm not talking about after school, like graduate, but in the afternoon. So the garage mm-hmm. band, the basement band, the bedroom band. Well, did you do any of that? And you probably weren't rocking the French horn. That was more for school. So how'd you get on the bass guitar?
Well, I have to give credit to my older brother, James. He is 2 years older than me. And all of my brothers and sisters, I have two brothers, two sisters, and we're all artistic. And so everyone was playing in the band in school. He was the first one who got a guitar somehow, a bass. And
oh wow!
So you know he's a, you know, so he's my older brother, so he wouldn't let me touch it. So I would have to sneak and play it when he was gone.
Okay, so you taught yourself?
Yes, yes.
And what'd you do? Like listen to records and try to play along?
Man, let me tell you who blew my mind as a kid. Yeah. Made me want to play bass was Jack Bruce.
Oh yeah, singing. Yeah, me too. Big influence on me.
Oh my God, it's like it made the hair stand on, up on the back of my neck. And so he was the first person that made me want to try to play the bass. Yeah.
Whoa. Yeah, I had an
and
eight
it was
track.
Records. Yeah, records.
Yeah, I had an 8-track, so it was hard to learn because there's no needle to pick up. But, man, it was an anthology, and I really didn't know what the bass was. I was hearing it on the radio. Of course, James Jamerson, right, all over those Motown, incredible bass.
Incredible, yes.
Right, but I didn't really figure it out yet, you know, because the gigs I was going to was arena rock, so it was hard to hear what the bass actually was.
Yes. So basically, so how old were you, Mike, when this was happening for you?
Well, I was 12 years old when I met D. Boone, and his mother said, you guys are going to have a band, and every band's got a bass player, so you're going to play bass. And I didn't know what it was.
And the pictures,
it looked like a guitar in the pictures with 4 strings. I didn't know they were bigger strings. For the first couple of years, I was playing a guitar with only 4 strings. And when I first saw bass at Chuck's Sound of Music here in Pedro, I didn't know what it was. They look like bridge cables. I said, no wonder there's just 4. Look, you gave me this this tune, Ramped. I want to play that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. Let us see now. This is going to be a very special evening. As I can tell when there are undercurrents in the air. So I'm going to drop back a little bit in history and read some poems, and then everything is kind of like a story. These are story poems of when you get my age, everything is exponential, and they grow like fractal patterns here. So everything's hooked onto something else. And then I'll end with a little bit of what the tour is about is Bush bashing political stuff. But the tone was kind of sad in a very special way because there are a lot of special friends here tonight. Thank you.
Yes, I asked him, please take the receiver off the hook.
What? Were you in a phone booth?
No, this was coming from somewhere else. Like the wailing of 5,000 hole-riddled futures leaking good times and preemptive stomach cramps. I suppose it could be worse or it could be better. Mornings bring the anxious surprise of an overgrown bedwetter.
Are you sure it ain't just your head going out in circles, you know, performing tricks, conjuring illusions, stuff like that?
No, this goes bigger. The warning signs were there. The drum skin's gone translucent. Its edges were about to tear. There's a stag electricity, frazzling snail shell hairs, and, you know, you could see guilt and anger and sadness and loss flowing round and falling quiet around the kinetic air. Listen to my work, ye mighty. Please don't weep at my despair. I'd struggle to hear the things you say. My mind would not be present, you know, I'm only superficially there.
That sucks.
For Pedro's show, that chunk of music started with Derek Higgins doing Ramped. And then we had brand new from The Library Is On Fire. That's a band name. I think it's named after a book or a poem. Back Pockets, the tune. Steve McKay, brother Steve McKay, was the sax man, the Stooges. I got to serve 125 months with him. The Prisoner, I'm on bass here, and Iggs doing the singing. Charles Plymell, with me backing him up, this was a live thing. I don't know, 15 years ago in Philadelphia. And it just came out. It's called Live in Fishtown. There's the north part of Philadelphia called Fishtown. Kind of near where John Coltrane bought his first house with his GI Bill on 33rd Street by the zoo. Sunk Heaven after that, New Glow. Sunk Heaven, that's the son of Ivan Julian, who was on the show a couple editions ago. And one of the guitarists of Richard Hell and the Voidoids. Richard Hell, my first punk. I couldn't believe that a bass player could lead the band. Yeah, Derek, my thing on bass was, you know, because we're talking right the early 70s, and it was like, this is where you put your retarded friend. It's like right field in Little League. You know, nobody's going to get the ball. Yeah, because, you know, and then I found out, man, it was the greatest thing to ever get on, so I'm so grateful to D. Boone's mom. Balk after that with I'll Get By, that's brand new. Guided by Voices. Caution Song, Frequency Jones Answers the Phone, Cod O'Donnell from England, and then Swenson Clane from Canada with Skull in Hand, and finally, Derek Havens with MIB, an acronym, huh?
Men in Black.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, kind of comedy movie, right? Will Smith.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
You know, can I make a comment?
Yeah, bring.
You know, you were talking about how a lot of times in bands, the bass player would be kind of like the jerk that gets in on the side.
Well, you know, early 70s, I think it changed after the punk movement. I think we came up, you know, people had more respect for us because, I don't know, it's just different, more open minds or something. But at first, I think a lot of people didn't even know what it was. And then people who played, oh, no, I want to be the singer or the lead guitar player, not that drummer or that bass guy.
Right. Yeah, I would agree that it changed. Punk kind of helped, but, you know, I started playing bands in the 70s, and when I started my first band that I started in the early 80s, it was a band called Digital Sex.
Oh, yeah.
And I was the bass player, but I was the main writer, and I started the band. But just like you were saying, everybody assumed I was the only black person in the band, and they assumed that the white singer was the leader of the band, and that's
like Doobie Brothers or something, or Crosby, Stills, and Nash. Yeah, like just bit players, right? Little side mice.
Yeah, right, but it was my band.
You know? Yeah, well, that's what blew my mind about Richard. Man, he writes the songs, he's the band leader. How's that happen? Now, I found out later, Chris Squire actually was the leader of Yes. I found out later. Yeah.
Yes.
And I guess with Cream, it was a kind of a three-way tie with those guys. But, yeah, it was like the conventional, quote, wisdom, unquote. Because actually, look in the jazz scene, man, John Coltrane was always talking about bass players and how he listened to them when he was wailing. I think it was just a weird thing that went along with arena rock, because part of it was the acoustics. Yeah, they didn't have good sound systems yet, and the places were made for sports, and so it was hard to... Yeah, yeah. So, kind of technical things. But now now they got bass amps. You know, I got this one that weighs hardly anything, right? Like 40 pounds, it's 1,200 watts.
Yeah, I've got one of those little ones, indeed. And thank goodness for that, because we broke our backs in the early days.
Absolutely. So what was the first band you got into? Was it your band, or did you join some guys or cats in school?
No, in my senior year in high school, I connected with a childhood friend who's still a friend of mine, and started this band called Restricted. So I was like 16 going on 17. And I didn't even own a bass at the time. They loaned me a bass. And it was cool because it was just starting out and we were doing the stuff that we loved. So we were doing Aerosmith and Ted Nugent even. But we tried to be adventurous too. we played the Moody Blues and we played in the Court of the Crimson King as well.
Whoa. There's a lot of notes in that.
Yeah, and I still got a cassette from the first band. That was my first band. I was 17. Yeah, Restricted.
Because we should tell people, 70s people didn't write their own song. Everybody was copying off records, right?
Right. It was still so new. We were really at the beginning of this whole phenomenon, Mike. We really were.
Yeah. So, how long does Restricted? Can you remember the first Restricted gig?
Yes, because it was a small town. It was in Omaha. And when we got there, it was shaky because they weren't ready for a black person in this town. It was an issue that I was even there.
Even with rock and roll?
Say it again?
Even with rock and roll? That's so bizarre.
Mike, let me tell you.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, the next band I was in, just right quick, not to jump, but the next band was this band called Full Clip. Hard rock. It was still in the 70s. Yeah. It was still an unusual thing to see mixed race bands that weren't playing clubs. We made the news because I'm in the band, you know.
But what about
Jimmy? We were really good, though. We were really good.
But you didn't give me any music, though. Damn.
We didn't. Okay, the reason is we didn't get that far. I was in a band full of bikers who were on speed and meth, and we could – it was a mess.
Yeah. Not a good plan.
No. We could jam hard, and the Hells Angels actually wanted us to be their band, the local chapter. We told them no, and they liked us even more, so they gave us these protection pieces to deal with bikers in bars. But it was just a crazy time. We were too busy playing and having good gigs and getting high, and we never recorded a damn thing.
OK. Okay. Ooh. It was just live. Okay. Because, you know, that's because Jimmy was big.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, yes. George Clinton was taught, that's why he put together Funkadelic, right? Like,
right,
maybe
right,
kids want
right.
to go see black guys, you know, Little Richard, yeah. right? Rock and Roll and Chuck Berry, you were saying, right. it goes way back, Bo Diddley. So why not?
Right.
And then Jimmy playing his brains out, you know, with these guys from England. But then it didn't translate, huh? It was just Jimmy. That's not, all we want.
Not exactly. Not exactly. And check out the connection. Buddy Miles is from Omaha. I knew Buddy.
Band
I grew
of Gypsy.
Up with Miles' family.
Oh, really? I love that Band of Gypsy record.
Yeah, Buddy Miles. Yeah, I remember him. It was a big deal to us when he got his gig with Wilson Pickett way before.
Oh, yeah.
Jimmy Hendrix stuff.
And then he had his own electric flag thing.
Yeah, I'm still friends with those guys. Some of those guys are still alive and in Omaha. We're friends, yeah.
That's great. Changes.
Yeah, I also like to share that I'm in the Nebraska Rock and Roll Hall of Fame along with Buddy Miles and Randy Meisner.
Randy Meisner. Yeah, another bass man.
Yeah.
They kicked him out of the Eagles, right?
They did, yeah.
He made a band called...
For his own good, actually.
I think he made a band called Poco or something.
He did some kind of stuff, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a Nebraska guy.
Actually, he's really good. Good-looking man, too. I remember when the Eagles first started. It was kind of the Burrito Brothers guys, yeah.
Correct. And they were good. I liked them at first.
So what did you do after high school? Did you go to higher education for music?
Yeah, I did. I went to college down in Albuquerque for a little while.
Uh-huh.
Didn't get a degree. Really ended up down there getting involved, you know, like you do, kicking on the streets.
Yeah.
Came back to Omaha and then started playing music while I was working and going to school. And I never completed a degree, but I became a mental health professional. I'm a retired mental health professional.
Okay.
And so all the time that I was doing band, I was working, kind of afraid. Again, I want to give you credit, Mike, because Minutemen and Black Flag, when you guys went out and basically carved those gigging routes for bands like me, it was that's what I wanted to do. I was at work, working in the hospitals, working in the community centers, meeting these kids. I met a lot of punk kids in the mental hospital, and it was like, I want to be a part of this, you know, and you kind of laid that path, but I just want to kind of give you some credit there, you know?
Well, you're most kind. You know, the Black Flag guys should really get credit for building that circuit. Oh, man.
They did.
Chuck Dukowski's phone book. Look, Derek, we're at the end of the first hour. February 2023, Dish Wap Peterson, show special guest, Derek Higgins. Hold tight for hour two. February 20, 2023, it's second hour of the Wap show.
time has been rough, but I'm fucking tough. So please don't think poorly of me. Cigarette breath, I do my best. So please don't think poorly of me. Now when you can't go further, just reach for the sky. And when you can't hold on any longer, don't curl up and die. Oh, now that you see, not a bad place to be. So please don't think poorly of me. In my throat, they make me choke. So please don't think poorly of me. Bugs in my hair, yet I am not scared. So please don't think poorly of me. Now when you can't go any further, just reach for the sky. And when you can't hold on any longer, don't curl up and die. Oh, don't think
voz a golpes de mosquetón. Primera noche de agosto, sin jueces ni defensores. No era por miedo su llanto, porque llorando salió. Lloraba porque dejaba lo que en su casa dejó. Thank you.
This one is called Okay, because when I play it, I feel okay. I want you to feel okay.
Peter Show, we start off the second hour with Derek Higgins doing Ghost Wave and Sam Lockward out of Iowa City, Iowa. Don't Think Poorly. Omaggio AEM Francisco Fusaro Frost. That's quite a title. Cunningham / Volt / Sarah out of Spain. This is Mark Cunningham from Mars, that old new wave band out of New York City, with Touch and Go. Daumen und Rumpin from Head and Force Trio and Raul Cantizano, Romance Diwan Garcia, GAS Drummers. Oh, yeah, Sevilla band, Spain. Bacanas with Hombre Solo, Man Alone, you know that gig. And finally, Derek Higgins with something live called OK.
Yeah.
So you come back from New Mexico, back to Omaha, start working in the Haas, but you're still doing bands and music.
Yeah.
Do you join bands or do you start bands?
Well, I did both. There was one time I was in six bands.
I like that idea because I think life's about taking turns.
Yes. I like to collaborate. I like to play a lot of different type of stuff. And back then, when I was young and had the energy, I played with anybody that wanted to play. Yeah.
Six bands at once. Wow.
Yes. You've done that, haven't you?
Yeah. I have. It's one of the righteous things about bass because, you know what I mean? You're kind of like glue, you know, and people need glue.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
Very, very interesting role. It's still mysterious, I think. I remember, you know, we were talking about when I first found out about bass. Oh, yeah, four-string guitar. But as time has gone on, I'm thinking, no, four-string drum set.
There you go. Here's
my idea. You know the Fender 6? There's a tenor guitar, baritone guitar. And it's tuned like a bass guitar, an octave lower than a guitar. But because of them little strings, it don't have the same sounds. Don't have the punch.
Right. I agree. You got to have the big, thick shit. Yeah,
right. So this live thing, what was this from? This OK?
It's from a couple of years ago. It was actually during COVID. It was supposed to be a local music festival. And because of COVID, it had to go remote. So okay. I was at the Slowdown here in Omaha and playing to the camera crew and, you know.
Yeah.
But it worked.
Yeah. And the Ghost Wave?
Ghost Wave, that's from, you know, I do a lot of stuff here at home where I record all the parts myself.
That's great. You got a little studio set up there. Yeah. More and more musicians are doing this. I love it.
Yeah. That's what I do. And just right quick, Mike, are you playing these days? Are you gigging these days?
Right now my knees hurt, so no gigs. But I have a little studio, my pad, and I record all the time, so I can relate.
Okay, very cool.
But I got to get this knee fixed before I do some more gigs. But I got a tour.
Bless you on the knee.
I think a tour is coming in. I might even be in Omaha in September, October.
Excellent. Well, if so, I'll be seeing you.
Okay.
And along those lines, you have a ton of fans in Omaha, and they wanted me to all say hi to Mike for me. So that's it. Omaha says, hello, Mike Watts.
I say hi right back. I've done buttloads of gigs. I remember a record store named Homer's. I remember one place downtown, the PA caught fire. And this was fire on stage. Yeah. Put it out with my jacket. The gig kept going.
That's wonderful.
I can't remember the name of the pad.
Homer's is still open.
Okay.
I used to work there.
Yeah, one time it was snowing so bad. That we were playing an in-store in there. Yeah, okay, you used to work there.
Oh, yeah.
You gave me this thing called Chemicals, and it's kind of a jam?
Yeah, it's a band that I started in 2016 that I wanted to keep together with a bunch of younger guys, a lot of improv involved, trying to do a jazzy thing. It was really hard to keep it together, but I'm still working with the horn players. They're all going to be on my next solo album, which I'm actually doing a recording session after I do this. I'm in the studio today working on it.
Ah, great. Well, let's listen to the – you just called it Jam 316-22.
Yep. Thank you.
kind of like give it to them.
So, see how power, see how good it is?
Yeah.
Ideas collectively, like that, we should always practice that, you know, every week in addition to practicing our tunes or whatever.
That's another new tune right there.
Yeah.
That was hot.
the prophet on earth today. Gotta go to church and learn to pray. Pray in school, sin is in. We'll crucify him for his sin. He's a false prophet.
Watt for Pedro Show, that chunk of music started off with Chemicals doing Jam 316-22. Oh, P. You put the letter P on there, too.
And there you
then,
go.
Okay, Fluke after that was Sunday Morning. Fine with Honey for Anchorage, Alaska. Muskeg Mudsuck is the name of the proj. Fiona's the song. Who Would Leave Their Son Out in the Sun? This is a demo from Have a Nice Life. And Ray Shin out of Reno with Nightstand. And finally, False Prophet. From RAF.
Yes, my band.
Okay, tell me about this band.
RAF. That's coming out of the hardcore punk scene here in Omaha, okay?
Okay.
That we started at about 84, 85, and those guys were all like 15, 20 years younger than me. It really kind of came out of what I was telling you. Like,
yeah.
I was working in the mental health system, and a lot of kids who were on the punk scene were in and out of the hospital constantly.
Yeah.
Some of them needed to be there. A lot of it was because they were just problem kids for the family, you know.
Yeah.
But anyway, that band has ended up being one of the longest running bands I've been in. We were very much inspired by like the tying of saints.
Oh yeah.
And adolescence and stuff.
Yeah.
And,
Orange County.
It's just to me, it's like therapy playing with the band. It's like such a release, you know. And we never formally like did a band thing where we went on tour or anything, but we put on a cassette. We're waiting for the test pressing for our new album to come out. But we played with a lot of the bands that would come through, Dead Kennedys, you know, DeKreutzen.
Yeah.
I can't even think of all the bands we've played with, you know. Yeah. It's a very important part of my life, you know, that energy. It was never about the look. It was about the energy.
And do you write a lot of the material?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. In REF, we write together, yes.
Yeah. So it's collaboration, okay.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm really looking forward. Test pressing was supposed to be here last week, and we're still waiting. You know how everything is.
Oh, yeah, yeah. There's a little backlog, especially with the vinyl.
Yep.
That's a trip how vinyl came back. Also, cassettes.
Yes,
made a comeback, yeah.
Yes, they have. Most likely the session I'm doing with Brian Day this weekend will likely end up on a cassette.
Oh, he's going to Omaha.
Yeah, he'll be here this weekend, and we're doing a session here at my house. We're going to do a recording session.
You know what he made for me was a string exciter. You know, I tried to use an Ebow, and they're made for guitars. It didn't work so well. So he made me a custom string exciter for the bass.
Yeah, and it works, right?
Yeah, I used it with Al Margolis and Walter Wright. This improvised.
Oh, hell yes.
Yeah, good cats. And he's an incredible cat. I've been playing some of his projects. He's got something called Anti-Strawberry.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's trippy. I mean, he's very adventurous. A lot of those cats up in the Bay Area, you know, they let the freak flag fly. I mean, I love
totally,
it.
Totally, I love it, yeah.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. And does RAF stand for something?
Yeah, really are fucked. Yes. You know, yeah. And that was coming out. That was coming out of, it was the Reagan era. Okay?
Yeah, right. 80s. And, yeah.
And that's how things looked. So, you know, when we needed to say something nice, we say, "Oh, it means ready, aim, fire." But no, it's like.
Do you remember the first RAF gig?
My first RAF gig, because I wasn't the first bass player.
Oh wow!
Oh, okay. It was a high school band. Okay. It was a high school band, and I'm older than those guys, and I kept running into them at these shows. It was at an Epigee show where they finally cornered me and said, "Okay, I'll give you guys a shot." Okay, because I kept saying to them, "You guys are just a bunch of punks. Get away from me!" You know.
How'd they know you were a bassman?
Say it again.
How'd they know you were a bassman?
Because of my band Digital Sex.
Oh, they
and,
saw that band.
Several other bands that I was in. I can't even call all the bands I was in. I actually had another punk band called Elvis and His Boss, named after a Residents song. So they probably caught some of that.
Okay. But that's bitching. They pursued you. I remember Effigy, Chicago band. And so, do you remember the first time playing with them?
You know, I'm going to have to be honest. I can't remember the very first show. I remember some of the early shows because it was a trial by fire. You know, I was older than everyone, you know, and I was, for the most part, I was the only black person. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And here in the Midwest, there is a real redneck contingent in everything.
Yeah.
And so from the beginning, I remember that there was tension, and then I kind of like, people got used to me, you know. I guess that's what I could say about the first gig, because I don't remember the first gig. I wish I could.
You know, I grew up Navy housing, and by the 60s, very integrated with the enlisted men. So I didn't grow up like that. That's such a trip. You know, because in the Navy housing, you think the whole world's like that. It wasn't. Fucked up.
Well, I get the vibe from you. Yeah, Mike, I get that vibe from you that you're a planetary citizen. That's what I call myself. That you see people as people.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Maybe that's the way I brought up, you know. I remember.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're all sailor sons. That remembers one cat. Well, one guy had the shore duty, and that's what he told us. You're all sailor sons. Look, we're at the end of the second hour, February 20, 2023. Dish Wapito's special guest. Derek Higgins, hold tight for hour three. February 20, 2023, third hour, What for Pedro Show.
about to drown in my own tears. I'm standing on shaky ground. Ever since you put me down, I'm standing on shaky ground. Ever since you put me down, 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 yeah.
the D-E-A-L. Yeah, the D-E-A-L. Oh, the D-E-A-L. Well, the deal involves confronting an elitist audience with the bloody fucking horror of its complacency and ugliness. For and against, for and against, M-I-N-E, mine. Yeah, my bloody fucking horror. That's right. An increasingly desperate, poverty-stricken visionary. Snakes crawling out of the eyes. Snakes crawling out of the eyes. While a small, anonymous army of juvenile satirists identify with opposites, glance behind the curtain, and put down dumbass traps deep in the bush for the man. Deep in the bush for the man. Put down dumbass traps deep in the bush for the man. That's the D-E-A-L. Yeah, that's the D-E-A-L. You know the D-E-A-L.
Feel that way in the USA? feeling ugly about the USA. Cash your check and look the other way. Things are messed up in the USA. Feeling bummed because we feel that way. But it's
Dr. Pedro Show. We start off third hour with Red Higgins, Just Good Music, Standing on Shaky Ground, and Chip Kinman. This was the guitar man in the Dills. He's doing electronic music. People, music is music. Don't matter on the device, right? Let the freak flag fly. San Francisco Fog, 1977 is the tune. Ellis Swan after that, Basement Suite. Dumbass Used with the D-E-A-L, for those who can spell. Dan Jones and Squids out of Kansas City with the demo of The National Mood. And finally, Mana, Mirage, Love Song for a Country. So let's hear about your pop's band.
Yeah, well, you know, my dad, he was a jazz man, and when we were real little, he was still on the road playing, doing gigs with people like Stan Kenton and Gene Ammons, Lee Konitz.
Yeah, Lee Konitz.
Yes, yeah, he played with Lee. And my parents separated when we were young teens, and my dad came back about the time I graduated, and he... He said he'd always had this idea of wanting to do a family band, like a jazz version of the Jackson 5. And all my brothers played. We all played. So I said, well, we'll give this a shot. And so we started this band, Red Higgins and Sons, Just Good Music, involving some other local talent besides us. And we played, you know, everything from jazz standards to funk. And we had a couple originals. And that lasted for a few years. And then I knew that really what I wanted, I was playing drums at the time, actually.
Whoa.
In that band. Yeah, yeah, I'm the drummer. So, and that's the only instrument I ever took lessons on, actually, Mike, was drums.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the rocking thing was like, well, that's what I really want to do. And so I was the one that quit. I quit the family band.
You're the one who quit. Okay.
Yeah, I broke it up.
Okay, sorry about that. And what about Mana Mirage?
Well, okay, now, are you at all familiar with... the progressive rock Canterbury School, Soft Machine, Caravan.
Drummer man Robert Wyatt, right?
Robert Wyatt, yeah. Yes.
Fell out of a window.
Okay, so yes. So the Muffins back in the 70s were an American band on the East Coast that started writing and doing music in that vein. They put out an album in the 70s called Mana Mirage.
Okay.
The leader of the band is a sax player, keyboardist named Dave Newhouse. After the band broke up, he has continued into recent years with this project called Mana Mirage. And I've never met him in real life, but I ended up befriending him, and I play at least one track on the last three albums, you know, long distance.
Trading files via the internet.
Yes, yes. And they're one of my favorite, the Muffins were one of my favorite bands out of America doing that progressive rock thing. So to me, this is a great honor to be a part of its history.
Yeah, yeah. And speaking of history, you also gave me a digital sex song. So okay. I want to play Whisper Words.
Okay.
Fully aware, not all there. Singing, crying, gently unconditional. She weighs position, but she tries to figure out if she'll make a difference. And she was taught so. In the light of a brand new world, she'll become a brand new girl. A brand new girl. She'll become a brand new girl. A brand new girl. She pulls her roots up, shaking off the dirt. They say the highway, oh, it relieves the hurt. And she was taught so. And she was told so. In the light of a brand new world, she'll become a brand new. Assumed identity, motor lines and amenities, Texaco in the headlights, the flash of a pistol on a dark night, wanted posters and headlines, 20 years of goodbye.
Thank you.
Pedro Show. Last music for this edition. Started that chunk off with Digital Sex doing Whisper Words. And then the Sonic Prophets after that, out of North Carolina with Brave New Girl. Where I go, I am there. Luke Stewart, Jarvis Earshaw Quartet. Luke Stewart, stand-up bass player, Chicago, but he just recently moved. David Gerard after that with Night Falls from his new record. And then finally, Derek Higgins with Start Anew. I thought it would be great for the last song to be Start Anew.
All right. Right on.
But hip us to Digital Sex. You guys had some success in France.
Yeah. You know, and I was very much inspired to start the band Digital Sex from post-punk. Wire and Joy Division were the bands that made me think I can do this.
Oh, yeah.
And so that was the band. Those were the bands that inspired me to start the band. And it was also the post-punk thing where, you know, I put out an ad in the record stores looking for people like-minded. The only person that responded was this guy who ended up being the singer. And I agreed to work with him. He had really no musical talent, but he looked good, okay? He gets mad at me for telling the truth about the story about how I started the band, but that's it, okay? But the deal is, I had this music.
I got to tell you, Derek, speaking of Jimmy, that's how he picked Noel Redden. Noel Redden thought he was going to be the rhythm guitar guy, but he said Jimmy liked his hair.
That's right. Yeah, you got the look, guy. You got the look.
Right.
You know, now, honestly, the bass player, Noel Redding, he really wasn't much of a bassist, was he?
No, Jimmy didn't like him. That's why he got Billy, his army buddy.
Yeah, he did the right thing. So anyway, Digital Sex kind of like locally, it took off really rather quickly, and then we decided, well, we're going to make a single, and then, of course, we have the problem, so we break up, but then we say, well, this music's too good, so we got to record it. So we got back together and made the album, pressed it ourselves. Steve was very enterprising, and so he was the one that had the idea, let's send it all over the college radio, whatever. But not just the U.S. It got picked up in the south of France, Rouen, France in particular. And they would send us the playlist. We were like number one on the local radio there for like 2 weeks. And it led to us getting a deal with the label Sordide Sentimental. You ever heard of that label?
French label, yeah.
Yes, they put out limited editions of Joy Division, Tuxedo Moon, yeah. Psychic TV. But they asked us, would you like to be our first compact disc release? This was the beginning of compact disc making. I said, hell yes. So that's part of our story.
Wow. So you told me you're going to be recording right after we get done spieling here.
Got a horn player coming in.
And this is for Chemicals?
No, this is for my, I'm doing three projects at once right now.
Okay.
I'm working on my next solo album, which will be put out by FPE Records out of Chicago. They did my last album. I'm working on this collaboration with Blake, the trumpeter from Chemical, okay?
Okay.
So that's what I'm working on this morning. We're making some good headway on that. And then Saturday when Brian comes by,
yeah,
most likely that we'll end up releasing that as well. But I've been preparing for that. I do field recordings, and I've just set up some very interesting things for Brian to respond to with his instrument.
Yeah. Oh man, I wish I was there to experience it. Where can people find you on the internet?
On Bandcamp, Derek Higgins Bandcamp, and then I'm on YouTube, Derek Vaughn.
Okay.
Derek Vaughn.
I should tell people, spell it D-E-R-E-C-K, people, because there's a couple ways to spell Derek. So that's
Mr.
Higgins, H-I-G-G-I-N-S.
That's it. That's it.
Yeah, so use your search engines and search them out there and listen to the tunes. One day you're going to get your own website, though. That's like having your own fanzine, right?
Yeah.
One day.
So Mike, go ahead.
Go ahead. No.
Well, I have a question. So, I do a regular YouTube channel and review records and talk about records. And that a while back, someone sent me a single of yours, a song called "Shit on Me."
Oh yeah, actually a Dick song that I covered.
Okay, so was that just like a one-off, or was that an actual band you had?
No, that's the second band. That's the band I put together to do my second opera. the Second Man's Middle Stand back in 2005.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
So it's organ, drums, bass, trio. And
I thought that was interesting. Yeah, no guitar, yeah.
Yeah, I just thought, you know, I already had a trio with a guitar, so why not try one with an organ? I always loved, when I was a boy, you know, you remember back in before the Casios and stuff, keyboards cost a lot of money. Me and D. Boone never got to play with keyboard guys. And we loved that song Sister Ray by Velvet Underground. So one day I wanted to play with an organ player.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the second man of the... Look, when you get done with these projects, these three things you got going, will you come back on the show and we can play the music and talk about it?
I would absolutely love that, Michael. I would love that so much. I really appreciate this so much. You know, I can't tell you how much I appreciate this. Thank you so much.
Right back, 100%. It's mutual.
Yeah, and I know we're at almost out of time, but can you just share a little bit about when you played with Iggy Pop? I can't imagine how cool intense that must have been.
Yeah, I played with the Stooges, actually. He always called it the Stooges.
Okay.
He always saw it as a band. Now, you know, he's got his thing, too.
Yes.
But he had a lot of respect for the Ashton Brothers and Brother Steve. And for me, it was a total mind blow. It was like me getting to go to the... to the well, you know, not second, third hand, but I got to go right to the source.
So I always felt
I owed those guys my best notes. I had to play my best. If you read the tour diaries, I'm always agonizing over that because I just wanted to do good for them.
And you did. You were the right person. Like I said, you know how to mash the bass. You know what I mean when I say that word? Mash that motherfucker.
Yeah. Yeah, some people say play bass. I say, no, wrestle the bass.
That's right.
I can't wait to have you back on the show.
I'd love it. I'd love it. Thank you so much, Michael.
Okay. People, February 2023, this is what Peter should keep you powdered.